Hello. Come on in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Say hello in the chat. Hello, Annette from Iowa. I know y'all been having some flooding up there, I think. I saw something on the news about y'all. So I've been thinking about y'all. It's just hot down here in Arkansas. Oh my goodness. Hot, hot, hot. All right. Well, say hi in the chat just so it's not just me and Annette in here. Okay. Hello, Catherine. Hello, Michelle. Yeah, tell me where y'all are from. I'd love to hear. So, who is ready to talk? Binging, overeating? Getting maybe some questions answered. Let me just kind of first off introduce myself and change my name. Hello, everybody. Now we got everybody in here. I am Coach Betsy. And nope, I don't want to change my picture. I'll keep Corinne's picture. I just want to change my name. Rename. There we go. No BS Coach Betsy. So I have been a coach here at No BS for, gosh, about 6.5 years. Is that right? Yep, yes, y'all, that is right. I started in 2018. Before that, I was working part-time and had another full-time job at the university here, but I left my job there in 2018. Oh my gosh. So not well, about 6 years and a couple months. So not quite 6.5 years. And the rest is history. It's just been such an honor and a privilege to work with you all and to support you all here in OBS. I do have a history of binge eating. I like to say it like that because I like to kind of tell my brain that maybe that's something we just used to do. Maybe we might still binge every once in a while, but it's not in my present. And I like to just kind of send that suggestion to my brain that maybe it's just something that we used to do. Not that it's ever bad that if I ever chose to do it again. So, so I have done some binge eating in the past, and so I really have been through probably anything that you all have been through. And when it comes to binge eating, I have eaten very large amount of foods in a small amount of time. I felt a lot of shame about what I did. And even what I really think kind of is so common with binge eating is that we feel so much shame in the moment of eating. That's why we keep eating, because we are actually just piling shame on top of shame on top of shame. And that's why the eating continues and continues, because if we stop eating, then all we're left with is the shame. And so that really often is why it's large amounts of food. So, so I am someone that has done that. Not so much anymore, but I used to drive around and go to different stores and buy things and drive around and eat them. And that was kind of my MO for a while. Often, my past binges have been in the afternoon. I know a lot of people eat at night. I often, like if I overeat at lunch, sometimes I'm beating myself up so much, or I have beat myself up so much that then I have urges to binge after lunch. Usually has absolutely nothing to do with hunger. It is just a way for me to escape from my judgment and my shame and other feelings. So that's it. That's me in a nutshell in terms of just, my history with binge eating. Now my binges look definitely a little bit different. It's not quite as much food as it used to be. I've definitely practiced so much with the urge to binge is doesn't quite feel as strong as the desire to want to feel good in my body. And that is after years and years and years of practicing. Hey, we can do this. We can absolutely, like, if we decide we want to binge, we absolutely can. But we know what comes along with that. We know we're not going to feel good physically. We know that we're probably going to initially have a lot of shame and judgment that comes in. The next day, I know my poops are going to be all messed up. So I know the deal. And sometimes I still give myself permission to binge, and sometimes I choose not to. Okay. So that's it. So that's, and I hope that that helps some of you all just kind of normalize whatever you might be experiencing. Your experience with binging may look a little bit different. It's all okay. It's all normal. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. So feel free to put any questions in the Q&A if you are interested in getting coached and want to come on with me and talk, whether your video is on or off. That's totally up to you. I would love to coach some of you all through anything that you're doing and then that you're going through. And it really can be binging or overeating. I mean, there are just a lot of similarities. There's a lot of overlap. So I would just love to help y'all in any way. But first, as you're kind of maybe thinking about getting coached or asking a question in the Q&A, and I'll also keep an eye on the chat. I'm here just all by myself. We're kind of going back to old school, no BS and PNP tribe, where it's just me on here. I'm keeping an eye on the chat, keeping an eye on the Q&A, doing all the multitasking tonight. But I love just chatting with y'all in the chat and seeing what y'all have to say. So feel free to talk in the chat, and I'll keep an eye on it over there and respond to anything that you have over there as well. But I did want to talk. I did a couple of lives today where I was telling y'all about the call, and I told y'all that I was going to talk about. I said the number one reason, and I get, I'm going to stand by that. I think the number one reason, the number one way we can reduce our binging. And I just still think I think it's number one. There's other ways we can too, but I think the number one way that we can reduce our binging is to celebrate all of the small wins every day. When it comes to our binging, when it comes to any habits that we're practicing, if we can recognize those and see those as wins. I had a private client the other day. By the way, I do. I spend a lot of time with my work here with working with private no BS clients. And so I was working with a client the other day. We were on a call and she said, "How do you do that? How do you celebrate? How do you celebrate your wins? Like, I don't know how to do that." And I was like, "Oh, good question." And I'd love to hear in the chat how you all celebrate your wins. Because what's interesting is that a lot of us, most of us, we've never, maybe never celebrated ourselves before. We've never practiced saying nice things to ourselves, much less celebrating, right? But we've never even talked nicely to ourselves, or we haven't in a long time. So how normal is it for us to not know how to do this? And so I'm so glad she asked that, because I was like, oh my gosh, I think I was just assuming everybody was knowing, you know, everybody knew how to do it. Let me see what y'all said, and then I'll add on. Jean said, high five yourself. I love it. What's her name taught us that? Jean, you can tell me. I'm like, y'all, I could not like recall somebody else's name. Mel Robbins, thank you. Mel Robbins taught us that, to look in the mirror and high five yourself. That's something you can absolutely do. Maybe it feels a little silly. Maybe it feels a little awkward. I mean, I'm willing to do some awkward stuff to feel better. I don't know about y'all. Oh, that's awesome. Yes, you're in her. Yeah, I know she has a program that some people are in right now. You can high five yourself. In our planner, we have the question on the planner. If anybody has their planner handy, what is the exact question that we ask in the planner that is really a way for you to recognize your wins. It's something about, you know, one thing that I did right, I think that's an old planner, but it was like one thing I did right today. We actually one time had like a place where you could write three wins down. Ooh, Catherine, I'm telling you, I would love to coach you on that, but we can also just talk about that here. She says, I feel pressure to come up with or recognize a win every day with the planner. So we'll talk about that. But in the current planner, I think it is something like, do I want to put today on repeat? You know, and I almost kind of wish it said why and why, because that is an opportunity for you to, like, or maybe it's like, what's one thing I'm proud of today? Y'all, I should know this since it's in the page of the planner, but maybe somebody else can check for me. But it's like, there are opportunities. There's a reason we have that on the planner every day. And because we want it, it's a practice. It's not something that we are, okay, one thing I'm proud of today. Thank you, Denise. There is a reason we ask that every day. Our human brains that are designed to look for problems and threats to our survival are not going to just, you know, automatically come up with wins. That's Catherine. That's probably why it feels kind of like pressure, because you're like, I don't know what, like, you know, because we're just not practiced at it. We're not very good at it. And so I want us to keep practicing this. This is the thing that can really help us when we are redirecting our mind to wins, to ways that we're winning, ways that we're making progress. And the scale is one way to measure progress. But y'all, on a daily basis, the scale ain't it. The scale ain't going to come through for us every day. We can come through for ourselves every single day with that question on the planner. One thing I'm proud of today. I want y'all to blow up the chat right now to help Catherine and other people with ideas on what you put in that blank in the planner. One thing I'm proud of today is, okay? So one of my private clients had made a list of her wins for today recently. And I wanted to kind of throw a few of them out here, because they are maybe not what you might expect, especially those of y'all who are new to listing your wins or think that your wins are supposed to look a certain way or supposed to be a certain level of accomplishment. Let me start with y'all, and then I'll read some from her list. That I never give up. I got on time to start. I got up on time to start my day. I achieved my water goal. I took more steps today than yesterday. I keep showing up. I woke up today. Did not buy a donut at the market. Binge better today, Kim. I would love to see you like get a little bit more specific with that. How did you binge better? Right? I mean, you probably know, but even just writing it down and reminding your brain of, like, it could even just be a really small thing that you stopped eating before you finished the bag, or you reached out to your accountability partner, or you got in to ask coaches after you binged or something like that. Not eating after dinner, exercise this morning, only ate when hungry. I apologize to someone for a mistake I made. Oh, Jean did a whole list. Okay, I love it, because we're going to save the chat. And I want y'all to be able to go back and look at that. But I also wanted to read this list from one of my clients, because there are just a few on here that some of y'all may be like, that's a win. That's something we could write down. She said, awareness that I want to eat when I'm not hungry. Y'all, if you cannot think of a win, it can always just be awareness of a pattern, of a thought that you're having. It doesn't have to be like an action that you've accomplished. Y'all listed a bunch of actions here, which are great, but it doesn't even have to be that big. It can be, okay, I just got like reminded again of a pattern that I'm gonna keep watching out for. There may like have been no change to the pattern or no change to the action yet. But the y'all, I always say awareness, we can't change anything that we're not aware of first. So awareness is always the first step. She said, once again, awareness of how some foods make me feel in my body, especially eating them late at night. She's like, so she's just more awareness of how her body feels physically. She's like hearing her body. Her and her body are like getting more like they're getting to know each other. And again, that has nothing to do with like eating less necessarily, but she just got some more awareness. Feeling safe to be honest with myself about eating. So safety with yourself can be a win, a little win. And then the last one was sometimes choosing not to eat. So that's the thing, y'all. These wins don't have to be, I chose not to overeat all day. It could be, I chose not to overeat at breakfast. It could be I ate one bite less at dinner. I really want y'all to get like granular and small with these wins because here's the thing. It doesn't matter how big or small they are, your brain lights up and gives you a dopamine hit every single time you celebrate a win. It doesn't even know how big or small they are. You could say I've just won $1 million in the lottery and you could say I just ate one less bite at dinner tonight. And your brain's like, oh, we're celebrating wins. Okay. Yay, you. Wins are accessible to you every single day. And I always say, y'all, if you can't find one for the day, you tag me in Facebook, you send me an Ask Coaches question, I give you a win. But, I always go to, I got up out of bed. I got my ass up out of bed. Most of us do every day. Most of us brush our teeth or, and or bathe. Got a little self-care going. You always have wins available to you if you just recognize them and practice them. Okay. So that's my little thing. All right. Well, I love it. I gave y'all enough time to kind of get your nerve up and maybe do some coaching. And I've also got some questions in here I want to answer, but let's start first with coaching and just dive into that. And then we'll go from there. So let's see, Rob, Miss Robin, let's bring you up. Keep an eye on the chat too. Y'all have all kinds of ideas. Hello.
Hello,
Hi, how are you?
hello. Hey, okay, so I have never been coached and I've been a member for several years.
Love it. Well,
So,
congratulations. You know,
yeah,
it's
thank you. A little nervous, of course.
yes.
So I have a regain over the last couple of months or so. I had gotten down to within 10 pounds of my goal weight, 10 or 15 pounds of my goal weight, and then I started overeating. So I know where where I need to work on, and I'm having problems with getting to the crux of why I'm reaching for the tub of chocolate frosting, even though it tastes disgusting after a couple bites, or why I just ate two bowls of ice cream. Yesterday, my reason for the ice cream was I had a salad and it was a really good salad. It was a filling salad. It was a favorite, types of salad for me. And I heard my brain say, well, I was good, so it's okay.
So we
And
know
that's
why.
actually really the first real thought I've heard in a while.
Oh, well, good. Good. That's a
So
win
yeah,
you
so
can
that was
celebrate
kind of a good
right
thing.
there around
Yeah, so
awareness.
that was a good
Hello.
thing. But then some of the other thoughts include It's not really a thought so much as maybe a punishment. I didn't get my run-in today, so I'm going to punish myself. So I guess I just kind of looking for some steps, maybe some different steps to maybe put that pause in there, or before I eat, or even just a pause in the middle of eating. And I know it's super common, and I know, there's a lot of people out there doing the same thing. And it seems like I hear all the calls and I go, oh yeah, that's great, that's wonderful. And then I just don't do it.
So, well, you don't do it. What is it?
I don't pause when I hear the thought, or I don't pause in the middle of it when I know I'm overeating.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You don't get to do that yet. Like, you're not going to do that yet. You haven't kind of put in your time after the overeat to be able to work backwards to where you'll be able to stop in the middle or recognize what's going on ahead of time. So, because this is how it works, is like, you don't get to jump to like not overeating until you practice first overeating and doing your discovery worksheets or just getting really curious about like, okay, what's going on? Why do I eat? And getting those patterns in your awareness and, really practicing having some compassion and some, less judgment for your overeats, which is the discovery worksheet. That's the purpose of that worksheet, of that whole thing. And then over time, you start to gradually work backwards, or it's like, oh my gosh, I'm eating, I'm overeating and I'm not hungry. And I think I'm going to stop. But again, we don't get to do that yet until we've done the work after the overeat first. And then
Okay.
also you can keep on work. It'll, you'll keep working backwards to, oh, I'm having an urge right now. And,
Okay.
like, yeah, I'm like really beating myself up right now for not doing my workout today. And I've got
Okay,
an
so
urge because it feels like crap. But again, you don't get that awareness until you learn what's going on after the overeats first.
I've been doing the disco sheets. Some of it's habit. I can just tell some of it's just plain flat out habit. And then some of it has to do with some emotional, like I'm catching myself in my overeats. And I even catch myself sometimes before, which is good. I think it's I'm still in that 40, 60 as opposed to the 80, 20 that I think I should be in.
Oh, okay. So are you
Right.
celebrating the heck out of 40-60?
And I'm not. And I think, and then you had just mentioned that. So I was typing my little notes in and I'm like, okay.
It
So,
really has, I mean, that's totally connected to what I just talked about, right? Where
yeah.
it's like we don't get to 50-50 or 60-40 if we're thinking 40-60 isn't, we should be better. Right. Once again, like we gotta pay our price. But I mean, it's like, I mean, celebrating yourself, right? That isn't, it's maybe we're not, maybe we're not as practiced at it, but it's not this painful thing we've got to do, right? It's
Yeah.
like, I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, look at me. 40% of the time, I am, recognizing my overeats before they even happen, or maybe in the middle, right? It's these like, we got to celebrate where we are before we can ever do better or do. I mean, because it's just, I mean, that's how it works. Why
Yeah,
would we
I
ever get
guess.
better if we're thinking we shouldn't be where we are now? It's that's, I mean, that's what we talk about with weight loss. It's like we can't hate ourselves down the scale. We also can't hate ourselves up to 80-20.
Okay, that makes sense. Then yeah, just stop focusing on what I can be doing, focus on what I am
What you
doing,
are
and
doing.
then celebrate the crap out of it, basically.
Yes, because you get those dopamine hits, right? And it's
Yeah.
like, and your brain's going to be like, anytime you want to do more of this, we're all in on the celebrating. So when you have that next urge, you're like, ooh, if I didn't give into this urge right now, I'd be able to celebrate this too.
That makes sense, because
You
that's what I
know?
was doing before, and that's how I lost a lot of my weight. And then just somewhere, somehow, I just started going back to my habit brain stuff. And
And that happens, right? It just
yeah, and
happens.
there's a lot of stuff that's been going on with me medically, so
But again,
yeah, I can imagine that's
you
probably
know what
why,
works,
yeah, probably why
right?
it caught up with me. I'm dealing with the return of my cancer and metastatic cancer and all sorts of stuff, so that makes sense. Okay, yeah, because that would explain why my brain would be an overwhelm essentially, and then reverting back. Okay.
And so your brain is like, we just want to take care of ourselves in some way. And so for you, I think it's also important for you to really think about, you know, you've just kind of defaulted to food to take care of yourself. Your brain has, right? It's like, how else can you take care of yourself during this time?
I love it. Okay, I can work with that.
Okay. Think
And
about that and,
I'm
you
gonna
know,
look at the replay and then hear that again too a couple more times.
Feel free to listen as many times as you need, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so
All
much. I
right. Take
appreciate it. All
care.
right, bye.
All right, bye. See, I always got to remind myself how to take you down. Okay. You should be down there. All right, let me answer a question. Okay, I'm Christy. I'm gonna bring you up and then I'm gonna answer this question while you're coming up. Anonymous says, why do I enjoy the feeling of being full? I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts about that in the chat as well. Why do I enjoy the feeling of being full? I don't know. I'm just going to tell y'all kind of my thoughts on it. And I think maybe it's for a lot of us, it's something that maybe we experienced as children that like food was a comfort to us. And that feeling of full just felt comfort, like comfort. It felt protective to us in some way. And then I also think it's just a habit. If we've overeaten for a long time, it's what we're used to, it's what's familiar. And so it's just, we say we enjoy it, but it may just be what we're used to and what's familiar, and what's unfamiliar to our brain feels scary because it's just different. But over time, I have learned to love the feeling of enough, as opposed to being full. I mean, I've just flipped the script on that, and y'all can too if you really do. Just change your story around, like, you know, okay, I'm gonna just, yeah, I've liked feeling full, but could I like something else? And can I practice it and also get some weight loss at the same time? So that's my thoughts on that. Okay, Christy, thank you for waiting. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Going on?
Okay, so sorry, I'm like here alone. It's amazing. I can't believe it. And
So
but my
quiet.
dog, I shouldn't say that because my dog is right here and he's still a
Okay.
puppy, and so he's anyway, so I will try to hopefully distract him. But yeah, I've been here for a long time since January 2000, and really worked on prioritized my binging, and I've binged better, definitely. It's my binges are different, and I'm talking to you. I'm realizing that too, which is really good. I'm not finding myself in the pantry as often at all. But I think that word safety is still pretty foreign to me, I guess. And then, like, with my eating in general. But I think one thing that I'd love your insight and help with is even just today. Well, this is interesting too. I'm really not supposed to have dairy. It's terrible for my esophagus. There's lots of reasons. The doctors have told me treat it like fire, and I have been very good with that. But today I looked, and there was some M&Ms. It kind of felt like I encountered M&Ms, and I just looked at them, and I just sat down with them and did what I do when I binge. I pulled out my phone and went on Facebook and Instagram and was eating. So this kind of mindless kind of escape thing. And had it been a big bag of M&Ms, I probably would have finished them. It was probably a serving or less of M&Ms. I mean, so no, it was definitely, actually, it was probably a third of a bag of M&Ms, like a small bag. So it wasn't a huge, but it felt very bingey.
What do you think was maybe going on there?
When I reach for, when every time I reach for like a sweet that has dairy in it, that I've binged on, like M&Ms used to be my binge food 100%. Like one thought that I definitely hear is, I guess I deserve, it's not a de I deserve, but like I can have this too. I'm allowed, like why can't I, like almost an entitlement, like this doesn't make sense that I can't, and I will, some of the things that will happen, and I'm experiencing them now even, is just the acid reflux. It just gets, that is a big thing. But so it's like I do suffer for
But we all, I mean, we all make choices sometimes where it's like, that have consequences that we. And so it's like, yeah, what's your thinking around, like, I mean, you mentioned your doctor. This is what I always say, our doctors give advice, right? They give suggestions, they give recommendations, but then, we leave the doctor's office and we get to choose what we do. So, I mean, are you choosing to not have dairy, or, I mean, what's the deal with the dairy?
My
Have you made your decision on that?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear my dog probably. Let me throw him a bone, right?
Okay. Yeah, literally.
Yeah, that's a good question. I have experienced long periods of time where I've not consumed the dairy, and my quality of life is better. That I know helps me, like one day at a time, choose like not to have the dairy.
But what if you just like, I mean, my thing is like, if I eat ice cream, I'm gonna basically like have, like weird poop the next day and like not feel very good. But like, that's just like what I know the deal with ice cream. And I've kind of made that decision.
That's a really good point, because yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that I'm not going to die immediately. For me, it's this long term, I say that with a weird smile and laughter. I don't mean it that way, but it's just it's a long term thing that causes damage in my esophagus. So I think that's, but like extra weight and all that is a long term thing. I mean, like, yeah, I guess you're right. It's we just got back from a vacation, and at every restaurant I would tell them I have this dairy allergy, and they were so respectful of it and so accommodating. And I actually have two kids. One has a I mean two of my kids have allergies as well, and they were just so respectful of it, and that was so it like served as a model to me that external, other people can have that respect. And like, so as a result, I really did respect that this whole vacation. So I guess there was a level of restriction this whole vacation. I did not have dairy. I also have the accountability of the five other people in my family to not have the dairy. But
it,
you
you
know,
know, I
that
mean, it
home
was,
alone.
I mean, you know, yes, you did restrict yourself from dairy, right? But that was a choice that was coming. You know, I always say restriction is not inherently negative, right? It's just an action of choosing to not have something.
Yeah.
Right. And we can love our reasons for it and just restrict ourselves from dairy, for example. But I think that, I mean, and I love how you said that, like, you know, it's almost like, you know, these people at the restaurant, right, had a had the kind of the relationship that you want with dairy, right? They just, you know, with not having dairy, they were like, oh, well, we will just, you know, it's not a big deal. We'll just, you know, pivot, or we will, you know, accommodate in a different way. And you can absolutely, like, you know, practice that. And, but we also just got to normalize, like, our brains, like, kind of throwing a fit sometimes too.
I think that's a good point. I think I'm maybe that's what's exactly what's happening is there's this like toddler brain thing going on where I'm having little fits. I think that you're right. And when you just said not making a big deal out of it, I really resonated with that. Just thinking about like, okay, maybe I don't need to be making a big deal out of it. I went on a big, I turned 50 this year, just like Corinne is turning 50. And my girlfriends and I went on a big trip, and we definitely drank. Like, I mean, we weren't getting drunk. It wasn't like that, but we had something to drink and more, like every day. And it was so interesting because I came home and I since then, and that was in March, I have not had much to drink. And that's been the first time in several years. And it's been such an example to my husband that all week he did not drink, which that was
So
amazing to me.
what was your thinking there? What is your thinking there around alcohol?
I came back from my trip, and instead of feeling like really invigorated, I felt kind of heavy inside. I mean, I had so much fun. We had so much fun, so it wasn't that, but my body just didn't feel great. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to here. I'm another bone. I think I'm just going to take a break from alcohol. That I think that's what I said to myself. I'm just going to take a break from alcohol. And then I just a Friday came around and I didn't have a drink, and that was very foreign to me. And then the Saturday came around and I didn't have a drink, and it was like I got through that first weekend without drinking, and I realized my life is
I didn't die or get
a
pregnant.
little better right now. Yes, exactly.
Here's the
Exactly.
thing. Here's what happened. You made a decision. You made a conscious decision. I mean, it was not like this, you know, complicated pages long decision, right? It was like, I think I'm just going to take a break. And, but you may have, I mean, have you had any urges to drink since then?
Yes, like the urges though. I mean, and I have, I mean, that was an interesting conversation that I had with myself was, what do you want your relationship with alcohol to be? Are you saying that you're not going to drink for the rest of your life? And I said, no, I enjoy having a drink with somebody and this, but it was starting to get to the point in the last like year or two where I found myself stressed and I would drink, or I was starting to experience some things I had never experienced with alcohol
So,
before.
have
It
you
was
had
scary.
those same conversations like that
Yeah.
with dairy? Doesn't maybe not.
Well, I have to a certain extent, and I started becoming so successful with the alcohol that I said, you know, maybe I'll just start with this with sugar. So I started not having it, but then I ended up going through a week where like I felt like I binged again. And my binging tends to be with sugar and like more sweet things.
So this is a thing where it's like, okay, we're gonna try something. And I mean, but just binging on it for a week doesn't mean that, you know, you shouldn't have done it. But
Right.
it just kind of gives you an opportunity to kind of reassess your decision. But going back to the dairy, it's like, you know, I really encourage you to do some thinking, maybe do some journal, like what is there? I mean, just like you did with alcohol, right? But you can do this with sugar and dairy. I mean, what relationship do I want with that? Knowing that, I'm gonna still have urges just like I do to drink. And this decision, the other thing is with decisions, a lot of times where we get scared is that we think it's like set in stone for the rest of our life. And it's like, no, for the next 3 months, I'm going to explore this relationship of, limiting dairy or eliminating dairy. And then in 3 months, I'll reassess and redecide. Decision may look different. So it kind of takes some of the, takes some of the pressure down. And, but it's like, you have this skill inside you. You've done it with drinking.
I mean, I've also watched my binging just drastically changed in the last change in the last 4 years. I mean, I don't binge every day. I used to binge every day. I think I called also just because it's like it frustrates me that I get to these points where it's like something turns off and I just eat.
And I mean, can that be okay every once in a while? I mean, I just think most of us here at No BS, we've, had a, we struggle with food sometimes. That's why I'll just always, I mean, I may just always binge sometimes. I may just always use food to cope sometimes. And that can be okay. It can be okay. I mean, there, everybody out there copes with, some sort of substances or, at some point, our brain just isn't designed to like not need to cope with things sometimes.
That's a good point. Okay.
So
Yeah. I
we
think
want
you're
to
off.
be sure we're not getting into perfectionism and, like, well, if I decide, I need to like never do it again. We're
Yeah.
humans. We're not designed to be perfect.
Yeah. And I think it's funny because it's I think if I can step outside of myself, I tend to maybe I demand perfectionism from myself, but not others. So I and it's
Yeah, you and me and probably everybody else on this call.
yeah, that's true.
We set a different standard for ourselves. And it's usually absolutely unachievable. So let's just normalize that. Let's just, say, oh, there I go again, trying to be perfect.
Okay, no, that's really, really helpful. Because you're right. It's like in those moments that I'm then like I hear that my gosh. And I hear that crazy what? Yeah, I'm beating myself up. You're right. It's just that beating myself up
And
when
it's
I'm
not
quite
crazy, it's normal.
Yeah, right.
It's normal. It's normal.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
No, that's
So
great. Thank you.
why don't you kind of do some thinking about this relationship you want with, with dairy, with sugar. If you need more help with it after you kind of think about it or write about it for a while, just find me and ask coaches. Okay. All
Thank
right.
you.
Good
Okay,
to
take
talk
care.
to you.
Thanks for
All
having
right. See
me.
ya.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Got Miss Lori in the house. All right. Let me ask this question and then I may just kind of go through the chat and see if there's anything else I want to talk about. So Cindy says, I tend to label food into two categories. The bad foods are the usual suspects, ice cream, chips, etc. I overeat these foods when I plan them. How do I normalize these foods and have them without overeating them? Okay, what a great question. I bet this will help a lot of people. So, first off, Cindy, if you're here, you can put in the chat if you want to. Why do you think these foods are bad? And anybody else who kind of was like, oh my gosh, that's me too. Why are these foods bad? Chips, ice cream. I'm over here like these chips, this ice cream, these cookies, they didn't do nothing to none of us. And they're over here like, why are you calling me bad? They aren't healthy. Okay. Yep, it's old diet trauma for sure, Cindy. Right? This they're not healthy thing is interesting, right? Because it's like, so does that mean, so we're only supposed to ever eat healthy food? Is that, you know, what we want? I mean, that's definitely a message that we've received out in the world. But could it be okay for us to eat food? And we talk about this in the Good, Better, Best lesson in the No BS course, which I highly recommend if any of y'all are like, you know, resonating with this. That's that good category of food, right? It has absolutely no nutritional value. And it's just food that we sometimes choose to eat. Okay, but it's good. It's not bad. And that's kind of the genius of Corinne coming up with that concept, right? Because it's like we're not going to call any food bad. We're going to call the chips and the ice cream, they're going to be good. And that category is no nutritional value, doesn't really like, you know, give us energy or anything. It's just fun food. And it can be okay for us to eat them. Because the thing is that Cindy, why do you overeat those foods? It's probably because you're calling them bad, which means you're probably calling yourself bad for eating them. Well, how does it feel when we sit and call ourselves bad? Feels like shit, doesn't it? Well, of course you want to eat more. Because if we took the food away, you'd be left just sitting feeling like shit. So the root of the problem here is that you think you're eating bad food and so that you are bad. So I want Cindy, I want you to review that lesson in No BS. I think it's module one, lesson three or four, something about what should I eat. Let's remind ourselves that all food is okay. I like to say all food is just a collection of ingredients. I like to work on seeing all food as just like this neutral, factual thing. You know, food doesn't talk to us. Food doesn't, I mean, I was joking a second ago about how, you know, it's like it was talking and saying, you know, don't call me bad. But y'all, food doesn't have any moral value. Chips are potatoes and salt and oil. Ice cream is milk and eggs and chocolate. And sugar, right? So, if we give ourselves permission to have these things, practice eating them. And here's the thing, y'all, this is what practice looks like. Kind of still feel bad for eating this, but Betsy told me I should practice eating them. So, could this be okay? You're going to overeat still sometimes. That's what practice looks like, too. But that's all worth it to build the relationship you want with all foods. Okay. So let me see what y'all say in the chat. Do. Jean's in here dropping some wisdom. Someone recently said, how could you continue to lose weight and have a cookie? I said, because it's one cookie. Yeah, that's the other thing, y'all. We aren't overweight because we ate a cookie. We're overweight because we ate one cookie. And this is how binging, you know, a lot of times how binging starts too. We ate one cookie and we're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It was bad. It's bad food. Now I'm bad for eating it. And you just keep eating to avoid just sitting and feeling bad. And that's why we have the plan. That's why we want you to give yourself permission to have all these foods so that those bad feelings can come up and you can be like, is it really bad? I mean, it's just flour and sugar and eggs, chocolate chips. And like other people eat them. I really want y'all to work on developing that different relationship with food. Okay. And other people are saying, you know, yeah, it's absolutely possible to eat any of these foods and lose weight. But here's the thing, some of y'all have not done, y'all, you don't haven't done that yet. You've only overeaten those foods and not lost weight. So that's why I want y'all to practice not overeating those foods and seeing if you can actually have them and still lose weight. I can. Other people in this chat can. So I bet you can too. I bet you're not a special unicorn. But it has to start with practice. It has to start with sometimes overeating them, sometimes not, to develop that relationship with the food. Okay? But for all of y'all, good, better, best lesson. I think that'd just be a great review for everybody. I'm gonna jump in there and listen to it too. So, okay. Someone just posted in the Q&A. I'm checking the time here. We got a few more minutes. What is the difference between binging and overeating? And I actually have my handy dandy little cheat sheet here because that's a question that comes up almost every call during our binge call. And I just like to remind everybody, just, you know, first off, don't overthink it. Don't get too caught up in the terminology, but this is just a common definition of binging or some common characteristics of binging. That doesn't mean that a binge has to include all these things, but it's just what binges commonly look like. But then again, a large amount of food to one person can be a very small amount of food to someone else, and you know, vice versa, right? So, but kind of what we talk about in the Trusting Your Body course, which is one of our bonus courses here at No BS, binging is often a large amount of food in a small amount of time. It often feels very out of control, like you a lot of times you just kind of, it's almost like you kind of wake up and you don't really just really been kind of checking out of your body and kind of been zoned out and checked out. And so it's really not a fully aware experience a lot of times. Sometimes it's a kind of different combinations of food. My past binges a lot, I'll go from kind of salty to sweet and salty to sweet. There are just other common patterns. I talked earlier about how I would drive around, I would drive and eat. And that's another way, that was another way for me to kind of just check out is and to very mindlessly eat in the car. And so it was just a very checked out experience. It's like we're trying to kind of escape ourselves. There's often a lot of shame associated with binging. But again, don't overthink this. There's often a lot of shame associated with overeating, just eating a little bit past enough, even, or eating off plan. Binging is because of the shame, binging is often done in secret. There's a lot of secret eating. And again, it doesn't have to be a large amount of food in secret. But it's just, and it's not something a lot of times that we share with a lot of people. That's what's so amazing about No BS is that we have these calls, we have the binge support group where we can share our experiences and get support. And I'm in there on a daily basis, helping members in there. And then of course I'm in Ask Coaches as well. But just talking about your binging and getting it out into the light. Shame cannot survive out in the, shame is like a vampire. It cannot survive out in the light when we're talking about it. Shame likes to hide in the corners and hide in the dark and hide in the, you know. And so just talking about it to other No BS women can really, really make a huge difference. The last thing I'll say is that often binging is rooted in some sort of restriction. So if you are not giving yourself permission to have, like, just like we were talking about, you know, bad foods, right? If you're just like, well, I'm just not going to have those. The thing is that you're restricting those foods, right? And I was talking about restricting earlier, where it's like, restricting isn't always a negative connotation. And there's, you know, so that's not, I'm talking about like when you are not letting yourself have certain foods because you think they're bad, you don't think you can eat them and still lose weight. And your brain is like, okay, well, we won't have them now, but we're going to make up for it later. That's what we call the binge restrict cycle. So if you start restricting something and not giving yourself permission to have it at all, I'm not saying that you know, that you don't practice like not overeating it, but if you just cut it out entirely, a binge on that food is probably coming at some point in the future. And so you really want to get curious about, okay, is there something I'm not letting myself have that I've binged on before, that it might be time for me to put it on my plan to practice eating it in a very conscious, present way so that I can develop a different relationship with that food. And by the way, y'all, I know y'all have heard about our diet culture detox event that we're having in September. That's after our September camp. Y'all, this is all the stuff that is going to be talked about. That is an in-person only event in Nashville. It's 2 days with Corinne and some of the coaches. And we are going to be literally developing new relationships with food in real time. We are going to be sitting with foods and eating them, not eating them. And I am so excited for this workshop, y'all. So be sure and check our website, nobswomen.com. If you have any interest in coming, it is in person only. There's no virtual option. And you do not have to be coming to camp to attend that event. But I really think it is a game changer. It can be a game changer for overeaters, for bingers. I mean, everyone overeats sometimes. But it is just going to be different, a little bit different, because of all of the real-time practice and little experiments that we're going to be doing in that workshop. Okay. All right, y'all. I have, let's see, one last question here, and then we'll get out of here. I find I don't binge, but graze. I bite here and then another bite. How to stop the pattern? Okay, Jean, this is, I mean, if you are grazing over a long period of time, and it adds up to a lot of food, then that we could really define that as a binge, right? If you're not hungry, we could call it overeating too. Let's again, not get caught up in the semantics, but you know, binging isn't necessarily eating something really fast. Binging can also be grazing all throughout the day or all throughout the afternoon. I've definitely had days like that. And so I would really put that in the category of a binge. And again, especially if it adds up to a large amount of food, you know, altogether. But again, large to someone is you know, different definition for different people. So I would encourage you to just, you know, get curious about why, right? And this is what I want to, kind of a little tool that I want to offer you all. And actually, I was thinking about doing a Facebook Live on this too, because I've had a few questions for my private clients in OBS about that question on the discovery worksheet. And I'll end with this, about what did I need in the moment of that? Like, what did I really need in the moment of the overeat? And they're like, I don't really know what to put on that. I never know what to put. And this is what I like to kind of play a game. And Jean, you can think about this too. So let's say you're, you know, you've been grazing, you know, or, you know, think about your last kind of graze. Others of those, y'all can think about just, you know, the last time you overate, whether it was like just a few bites beyond enough, or whether it was a binge, or, you know, the M&Ms that I was talking to Christy about. I want us to play a game. I want us to pretend that in that moment, the food disappears. And you could even say, like, all the food in your house disappears. You do not have access to eating. We could even say drinking too. You don't have access to eat or drink. What are you left with in that moment? I really encourage all of you all to maybe even like go back to your last discovery worksheet, think about your last overeat, your last binge, and do some journaling on that. Okay. Because the thing is that when we take the food away, when the food just goes poof, a lot of times what we need in that moment is to be willing to feel a feeling. We need to be willing to feel just desire for more food, especially if it's something like, you know, we're eating like a really good meal and we just want to keep eating because it tastes good. If the food just went poof, or if that waiter just came in and said, nope, you're done, you would have to be willing to sit and feel some desire, some wanting. A lot of times that's what we need, y'all. We need to feel the discomfort of loneliness, of sadness, of grief, of anxiety. That is a lot of times what we need. So you could even just make a note on your discovery worksheet, like, you know, what did I need in that moment? But y'all, sometimes it's a break. I swear, I think the answer to that question a lot, probably 30% of the time, is I needed to give myself a damn break. But anyway, that's a different answer to the question. But often it is, I needed to sit and feel discomfort in some way. Because we have just decided that we can't handle that. But we can. We feel it anyway. And we feel the shame after we overeat. So we know we can handle shitty feelings. We just haven't given ourselves a chance to, because we just eat instead. So this week, where can you give yourself the gift of, okay, I'm gonna set the food aside for a second, for maybe 10 seconds, and just see if I can come up with like what else I might need in this moment. Do I need to feel a feeling? Do I need to just take a break? What could I try in this moment? But we got to give ourselves an opportunity to come up with something different. And we can't do that when we're eating. All right. Sleep. Yes, Lisa. I swear, I think I was telling a client this the other day, or no, today. I was like, I swear, I think the solution to about 70%, maybe even higher, of nighttime eating is go to damn bed, right? And we just don't want to. We're just a toddler throwing a damn fit. And that's okay. We can have compassion for ourselves with that. But that's just the answer a lot of times. So, okay, y'all, that's what I got. Thank you so much. It's been so much fun. Okay. I have the best news ever, and then I'll get out of here. So the way that the calendar worked this month, with me being on vacation and working things around, guess what, y'all? You get me again next Tuesday, because next Tuesday is a new month. So we are doing this again 1 week from tonight, 5 p.m. Central. We're just going to do the binge call again 2 weeks in a row, because that's just the way that the calendar worked out. So I want you all to think about, you got a week to think about it. I would love to see some of y'all raise your hands. And also somebody saw somebody raise their hand on here and then they took it down. But if you want to come back, I know, and I know who you are. If you want to come back and get coached next week, I will be here next week. And then I'll also be, y'all just get all Betsy all the time here for the next week or so. I'm also doing the monthly planning and assessment call on Saturday morning. So I'll be, and this is y'all, this is like one of my favorite things to do in my job is to do these calls for the membership and just talk to y'all in the chat. And so this is like best week ever for me. So I love it. All right. So I will see you all on Saturday morning, and then again next Tuesday evening for the July bench call. All right. Take care, guys. See ya.